Have you ever wondered what it is that makes people into the people that they are? Have you ever wondered about those defining moments between family members and friends and colleagues and circumstances that make people into who they're going to be? For a number of years, I worked with teenagers, middle school and high school students and college students. Loved it. And I always wondered, what's God going to do in their lives? What are they going to become? How are they going to serve? I wonder about these things. You might think I'm weird, but this is stuff I wonder about, how God's going to work in people's lives. Well, I came across this article a number of years ago that I want to share with you. And it was about the Peanuts characters and some projected thoughts, some conjectures about what they might have grown up to be if they didn't remain in that elementary school holding pattern, okay? Charlie Brown operates the Good Grief Counseling Company, Incorporated, specializing in manic depressives and people who are just having a bad day. He moonlights as a pitching coach at high school and college levels. He's married to Marcy, and they have a round-headed son who wears glasses. Linus became the developer of security blanket software, which is a hot item on the New York Stock Exchange. He's worth millions of dollars, but is actively involved in charitable causes, including the Great Pumpkin 5K Fun Run every fall. He's the only man who makes Bill Gates nervous. Lucy. You can imagine this, can't you? Lucy's serving her seventh term in Congress. She's on her third husband and claims she hasn't thought about Schroeder ever since she was a child, although her ringtone plays Beethoven. And Snoopy. In dog years, he'd be 350. What do you think happened? Yeah. But you know what Linus did? He created an endowment at the Daisy Hill Puppy Farm in Snoopy's memory. How about that? Well, the passage we're looking at this morning doesn't make a conjecture about the events that happened in people's lives. It tells of a powerful incident that transformed fishermen into followers of Jesus. Yes, the passage is a fish story, but it's much, much more. It's about a life-changing event, a life-changing incident with Jesus. And it tells us what happens when we enter into relationship with Jesus Christ. I'd invite you to follow along as I read from Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Listen to God's word. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and we haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and all in his companions were astonished at the catch of the fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. And Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for this fish story that is anything but fishy. Lord, thank you for your word to us. And Lord, we pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts might be acceptable as we think about your truth this morning. We ask this in your name. Amen. So I'm going to be talking about four things this morning, and I want to use the acronym FISH, F-I-S-H. The first, failure happens. We try to avoid failure early on. In fact, we're scared about failure. We're told, don't be a failure. You don't want to fail. You want to succeed. And yet, there are times where we simply fail. I don't know anyone that wants to fail, but I don't think failure is necessarily a bad thing, especially if we can learn from it. So we have a picture here of Simon cleaning his nets. He was a fisherman. He worked at night. That was the best time to go fishing. But he and his partners had had a frustrating night. And I would bet they felt like they were failures. They had nothing to show for their efforts. Enter Jesus. He gets into Simon's boat and started making requests. At which point, I want to take a step back and say, really? The son of a carpenter is going to tell these fishermen how to catch fish. I mean, that would be like me trying to tell structural engineers how to fix the beams underneath the sanctuary. I mean, I know nothing about structural engineering. But Jesus says, put out into deep water, let down your nets for a catch. So they would be going back out in the boat, letting down their nets, and be thinking about an unsuccessful evening of fishing. But Simon did it. He exercised faith in the place where he experienced failure. He faced a place of failure, and he began on a journey of faith. You see, failure gives way to faith. Second, interruptions occur. Who here likes to be interrupted? Yeah, I don't see any hands up. Okay? Yeah, we don't really like interruptions, do we? But they happen. Our phones ring, text messages come in, we have emails that come in, people just happen to show up at our office doors or come to us with problems, and it just kind of messes up our day, right? We get those interruptions. Simon was interrupted from his task of cleaning the nets when Jesus stepped into his boat. Put out into deeper water, Jesus said. At Jesus' request, I think maybe Simon was a little bit put out, don't you? He protested, "We worked hard all night." But he reluctantly responded to Jesus' invitation, and he was astonished and amazed. Those nets began to break and the boats began to sink. There was an incredible catch of fish. In the midst of this, Jesus gives an invitation. He says, from now on, I'm going to invite you to fish for people. Fishermen, fishing for people. I mean, nobody wants a stinky fisherman around, right? And yet that's what Jesus invites them to do. It sounds impossible, doesn't it? It sounds even like it borders on the absurd. And yet, you can't achieve the impossible without attempting the absurd, right? And so Jesus interrupted their lives, showing them that the impossible really was possible. And so it makes me wonder, where might Jesus want to interrupt your life and call you into your next step as a disciple. Interruptions lead to invitations. Number three, sin is recognized. As Simon looked and saw what happened, what did he do? He fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." How did he know that? Jesus didn't tell him, at least it's not recorded there. He came to that realization on his own. He experienced a deep sense of unworthiness in the presence of the one who demonstrated such power. He knew he was in the presence of holiness. Have you ever had an experience like that? Where you sensed God's presence, you couldn't feel, you know, you couldn't touch it, you couldn't see it, but you knew God was present. Jesus is always present with us, but there are those times when that presence seems overwhelming. There are times when that presence seems palpable. Last Sunday morning, after the worship service, we had a special prayer time for Donna and Doug Murray. I think that those people who were present last Sunday morning would agree that that was a holy moment. There was something special about that time. God's presence was real, it was overwhelming, and it was palpable. When God's presence shows up like that, there's a sense in which we want to take a step back and say, I don't know if I can stay here. Sometimes we have those experiences. Simon and his partners, the other fishermen, experienced a holy moment. I'm sure in their minds they were seeing things that they just couldn't make sense of. But they were aware of Jesus' holiness. And they responded. They followed him. Sinners became servants. And finally, humiliation ensues. At some level, I think it must have been humiliating for Simon, a fisherman, being led by a carpenter's son. Jesus became an expert at fishing. It was one thing for Jesus to tell Simon what to do, but it was totally another thing when Simon found out that Jesus really did know what he was talking about. We don't know if Simon felt shame. We don't know if he felt embarrassment, but we do know that he came face to face with the fact that he was a sinful man. Simon's not in control of what's happening here. Jesus is. And the response is quite dramatic. They made a conscious choice to leave their possessions and follow Jesus. The fishing industry was pretty involved. Boats, nets, payroll, management, human resources, right? They left. Their choice showed a radical commitment and had an adverse effect on their economic situation. Philip Yancey puts it this way in his book, The Jesus I Never Knew. Two sets of brothers, James and John, Simon and Andrew, worked as partners on fishing boats. And when he, Jesus, called them, they abandoned the business. Ironically, he says, after Jesus gave them their most successful day fishing ever. Isn't that interesting? Humiliation can be transformed into humble service. My friends, Jesus meets us where we are, and he calls us to follow him. How is Jesus calling you to follow? How is Jesus calling you to invest your time, your energy, your resources, your very self in the kingdom of God? Is Jesus calling you to leave something? Or is Jesus calling you to stay involved in something and share good news in the midst of that? You see, Jesus calls all of us to follow as disciples in the midst of our jobs and our relationships and everyday life. Some are called to serve in defined leadership positions in a congregation like this, whether it be elder, deacon, trustee, instrumentalist, singer, choir member, teacher, sound operator, whatever. But there's one thing that Jesus calls all of us to, and that is to follow him. You see, Jesus longs for us to be a part of a vision that is much larger than we could ever imagine. One in which failure gives way to faith. Interruptions become invitations. Sinners become servants. And one in which humiliation can be transformed into humble obedience. Let's pray together. Gracious God, thank you for the time that Jesus spent on the beach and on the water with Peter and his partners. Lord, thank you that you transformed them into people who saw a vision larger than themselves and have transformed the world to the extent that they have even, through their faithfulness, touched our lives. And so, Lord, we ask that you would help us to be open to that transforming work that you want to do in us and through us, that we might give you glory, that we might be able to invest in people's lives and see your work as they become followers. Lord, it starts with us. Help us to be faithful. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.